Podcasts are having a breakdown. Bravo Breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo Breakdown.
A whole chicken farm, like the type that our influencers would be jealous of.
Oh my god! Do you think they're like homesteaders?
Oh my god, I wish, but no, it's just like a really old like Mexican guy and his family.
They could be homesteaders, like. You don't know what kind of, you know, what their jars are filled with. It could be preserved.
I would love
beef
that if he has like a 24-year-old white wife who's like, yeah. he's my yeah. rock, he's my guardian.
She wears bonnets.
It's like he's married to like that Catholic homesteader girl we like.
Oh yeah,
autistic Catholic homesteader.
Trad wife. So we have very specific interests.
Yes, yes. We have special, some might call them special.
Special interests. They are very specialized. Like, I don't know if we could just go up to other people and be like, hey, did you see that TikTok of the autistic Catholic trad wife?
Yeah,
and
that's
then be like
our,
probably like, not. Yeah.
Our
yeah.
talking
What's
point?
Your algorithm? And it's like, you know, parenting. okay, same. Same. We're the same. Exactly the same. Everything's normal.
Totally normal. Yes, who are like letting their 2-year-olds, like, why do we need to buy all these toys? And they're like outside with like a sword and a gun.
Yeah, like a sword, a gun, and they're eating sand. And they're like, it's natural. If you don't know what Lauren and I are talking about, the things that really matter.
Okay. So I finally had to, you know, that Australian lady who I really liked because it was like a trad wife, but clearly it's like really that she.
The sexy one? I don't remember. There's so
not
many.
Sexy. She just clearly like hates her husband, but she's trying to become a trad wife to like love him again. She's like, see, the reason that he doesn't clean is because men have hunter brains.
Hunter-gatherers.
I have a gatherer brain, and that's why. So I just, he is a king. And I'm like, oh my God.
I love a Neanderthal reference when trying to become a trad wife. Yes.
It's like, give me a lobotomy, bash my head in, make me a cave woman again. Like,
bam, 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 bam. Yes, make me a cave woman. I will do drawings of with my own blood in these caves. Fabulous.
Yeah, this is
the content I like and need, mm-hmm. always pumping through my veins.
Well, speaking of our favorite trad wives, the new season of Real Housewives of Orange
Insane.
County, the long-awaited season 18, that has been hailed by many as like the renaissance, needed renaissance.
Yes, it is the phoenix rising from the ashes, and that phoenix is Jesus Juggs.
Yes, although I will say, yes, it's been a dark time for housewives, but only a 6-month dark time. Like,
but that's a long
let's
time.
Not forget, Salt Lake City just had the greatest finale of all time in January.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of why everything, you know, Beverly Hills always sucks, but that's why we were like, oh, this really sucks this year. Or like, you know, New Jersey. Jersey, I will say, is having, I think, its worst season ever.
And I will say this about Jersey, like, it's still not bad.
I mean, honestly, I'm such a Jersey, like, I even really liked last season, to be honest.
Yeah, Teresa really does the most, and her husband rolling around with Bo Deedle at the I almost said funeral at the reunion last season, like.
Mm-hmm. Bo Deedle, like, in a gunfight with Bravo security.
Talk about
showdown.
the real gossip girl, I mean, Bo Deedle. What if Dumois is actually Bo Deedle?
Oh my god.
What?
I would love that.
What if that would, that would be crazy.
It's always the one you most expect.
Yeah, we should have asked her. Are you
Bo
Deedle?
Are you Bo Deedle?
Are
you Bo Deedle? You're like, what is
what
that?
What are you saying to me?
okay, anyway, back to OC, which, also, you know, I do want to like dispel this narrative a little bit that like, oh, OC is finally back, like finally, because Alexis Bellino started dating, you know, Shannon Medora's like fame-seeking John Jansen, and like is driving her crazy. And after Shannon got, you know, her DUI, now this is finally like the drama we need. I do want to say OC has almost always been that girl. Like they really, even last season. pretty good. Like, you,
yeah,
we got spoiled by what the excellence of, like, you know, the Tres Amigas years, but it is,
yes,
or still it's always been solid.
We've, like, been so spoiled even before that, when it was still, like, you know, Gretchen. Do you remember the season where Gretchen was throwing the bachelorette party for Tamra, and Vicky's trying to, like, make up with Tamra, like, I'm your sister, you're my girlfriend, and she pees on Tamra's bed?
Yes, like, marking her territory.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, saying, you know, like, it's,
it,
like,
always has been that girl.
It's always been that girl, and that's why we're also doing these recaps of the early seasons, because I feel like, you know, we love that it's getting this new resurgence of, like, appreciation and watchers, but honey, never forget.
Never forget
this
where
was
you started
OG.
From.
The OC is the OG.
The OC is the OG. The OC has always been that bitch. We've had some rough seasons. We've had some really dark seasons. And we're going to get through all of them together, holding hands.
Yes. And it's going to really give you, we're going to be recapping this new season while we go back to the old seasons. And it's really going to, like, have a greater, like, context, a greater appreciation, a greater, like, depth of your love for these women who, you know, a lot of them have been around since, you know.
Yeah.
Year three, year four. Yes, exactly. The BC. Before they even knew that, like, conflict was what moved story in reality TV, these women were there.
Before conflict, BC.
Before conflict. And then AAD after drama.
After drama. Yes. Oh, boy.
Well,
or then AB after Brooks.
After Brooks.
It's not called AD anymore. It's like after ACE, after current era.
After current era, ACE, yeah.
Yeah.
Ace. Like Heather's
son.
Son, yeah.
Named Ace.
Child.
Shout out to Sarah Winokur, aka I knew her as Sarah Terry, for messaging us on Instagram.
And giving us this idea.
Yes, we actually stole this from you, Sarah. So I've known her since kindergarten. Shout out to you, Sarah.
Yes, we appreciate this. Brilliant. This really is, like, Bravo Breakdowns. This has always been the plan to, like, first of all, you know, show that this is healing for mental illness, reality TV, not worse for
not
humanity.
Not just our mental illness.
Just in general. Yeah. And then also to, like,
To
provide a deeper historical context to the canon, you know? So this is a great way to really fully realize
that. Because, like, we're not girlies at Gatekeep. So whatever.
No.
We can do to spread, like, mental health. Better mental health, spread the gospel of Vicky Gunvalson and Andalays. We're here to do it, and we're happy to do it.
Yeah. All levels welcome, you know, Bravo scholars, Bravo newbies. If, you know, you just heard about this new season, you were like, Jesus, Jugs, I don't even know who that is. Again, we're going to, we're going to mention it all.
Prerequisite required.
Yes. Okay. So the current episode.
Woo!
I think my big takeaway is Shannon looks so cunt. She is, like,
the blowout.
Amazing.
Okay. We got to start from. Okay. So we open with 10 days post reunion.
Yes.
Is how this episode. So we're talking about season 18, episode 1. We're recapping that. So we open with a flashback to the reunion where Shannon is going at Gina, defending her drinking, like saying, like, I'm not an alcoholic. It's irresponsible that you called me an alcoholic. Sorry that I was drunk and totally forgot that I mentioned that, you know, you were this close to getting CPS called on you, which was not true. She's referring to Gina's DUI.
And refuses to apologize for it.
Yes. Which is a great look. We love when a housewife refuses to apologize.
And that is
for
really
anything.
The ground. That is really the OC.
You
want to
be top tier? You do not apologize. And you smoke on camera.
And you make yourself the victim when
always.
You are the attacker. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. And you make up, you don't remember heinous things that you've said, like Lisa Rinna saying she doesn't remember saying Kim was close to death in Beverly Hills. We have Shannon saying, I don't remember saying that CPS was going to be called, even though it's on camera and I said it to a pretty large group of people at a party I threw. So that's where we're starting. So it's flashing back to them, to the reunion, Gina and Shannon talking about, you know, Shannon's drinking, which has always sort of been an ongoing theme with Shannon
since her first season. Yes. We have known that Shannon, that the women think that Shannon has a drinking problem and calls them all drunk in the middle of the night.
And it is because that Shannon maybe perhaps does, because 10 days post reunion, she's leaving her ex-boyfriend's house. Johnny J is his rebrand, but for now we'll still call him John Jansen. And she's leaving. She's very intoxicated. She has Archie. Archie is her dog that she loves. And she, you know, like one does when they drive drunk, she drives into another person's home and gets a DUI. She does get out of her car when the police arrive and starts pretending that she doesn't know what happened and that she's just been out walking her dog, even though they were like, is this your car inside of a house? And she's like, yeah, sorry. Gets the DUI. So that's where we're starting.
It was worth a shot.
Yeah. So this is where we start. And then it opens with, you know, Shannon's DUI. And then we see Shannon at lunch with Emily. And Emily is an attorney and they're talking about her DUI. And
yeah. So that's like kind of the setup for this whole season. And the other important part is that you need to know is that Alexis Bellino, who is a former cast member who was, you'll learn a lot about in our recaps of seasons like 4 through 7, which she was in. But she was like a holy roller, you know, trophy wife, married to this like super Christian asshole.
Fake boobs.
And then she kind of like, you know, didn't have enough alliances on the show and like, you know, left. And then she left the asshole pastor guy. And now she's like kind of like, you know, a more liberal Christian chick. And she officiates gay weddings. And she never stopped wanting to get back on the show.
She never stopped being that bitch. She was so thirsty. And she is the person that when we talk about Jesus drugs, that is her. She is Jesus drugs. Tamara called her Jesus drugs at a reunion, a past reunion, because she was like very Christian and had fake boobs.
Yes. She's what we talk about when we talk about Jesus drugs.
That is Alexis Bellino.
And so she did, you know, and we'll learn when we go back and recap season one later in the episode, we'll learn that this has always been the playbook for OC.
Mm-hmm.
She and Shannon's ex-boyfriend, they want to find a way to get back on the show. And they know that you're stronger together and you're stronger if you're torturing one of the cast members.
Right.
So they have led a big successful social media campaign of being in love, posting hashtag love wins and pictures of her with a big like ring on but not engagement ring, and just
hashtag,
basically
the ring, she said it was like hashtag pre-engagement, hashtag promise ring. These people are in their 50s.
Yes, but it worked. All of the plotting works.
She did it.
She is back on the show because Bravo knows that Shannon Madore is the queen of misery, and we want to see her
With company, and that is Jesus drugs. Misery loves company, and the company is Jesus drugs.
So basically this first episode, I mean, you know, we get other plots. We get, you know, Gina is breaking up with her boyfriend Travis. Also, like, there is, like, some kind of hot goss around that, but they're keeping it off camera. Like, where apparently, like, he's been living, the reason that they have to separate to stay together is because his ex-wife is, like, loaded, and that's why he won't divorce her.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, of course, we don't get it from Gina.
I have to get that info from my best friend, Lauren.
Exactly. I know. They need to bring that crazy ex-wife on camera.
Get her on the show.
Yes. And then we have, we have Tamara, who's like some of her kids have like disowned her for continuing to talk about them on the show, and she refuses to stop.
Yes.
So we get her doing some of that work of
trying
to get disowned again by, you know, saying stuff that's off limits to her.
And yeah, saying that stuff about her kids, you know, Timmer's always doing the most, talking shit about Shannon's DUI mm-hmm. and that they're not friends anymore. Because, I mean, valid reason, if you're a really good friend and you see your friend, they were doing the Trace Amiga show live. But then she saw Shannon at one of the shows right after her DUI trying to order vodka surreptitiously.
Yes. Yes. Pulling a Countess Luann.
Who is doing it pretty freely these days.
Now she's doing. Yeah. Yeah. But back when she was still on.
Right.
Probation. So we've got some our other like little plots going. But really, the whole episode is really kind of focused on Shannon. The aftermath, her crying to her beautiful young daughters about how she feels like she's failed them. And they're actually really sweet scene. They're like, hey, you just have to forgive yourself. It's good you're taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Not seriously enough to quit drinking, but right. Hey, whatever.
And one of them has like just got back from Europe and is telling everybody else they need to go to Europe. So she has a very European attitude towards drinking. So I get it.
Yes, she's like, very bohemian.
Right.
Yeah. Everyone, like a wine at breakfast.
Yeah. She's you just got to go to Paris, girls. They're like, okay. Yes.
And then we're building to a confrontation at a big party where Alexis and Shannon are finally going to face off.
Oh, my God.
And so Shannon, you know, pulls Alexis outside to, like, the porch. And all of the women are like, oh, my gosh, oh, wait, what's happening? We've got to watch. Can mm-hmm. we, like, does anyone read lips? Mm-hmm. We bring in the new cast member who apparently can speaks English, Spanish, and lips to try to mm-hmm. watch. They turn away. Shannon is like, you know, like flipping her hair and looking directly at camera. She's confronting Alexis that like, well, Alexis, you know, you're adding insult to injury because, you know, your ex-husband sued me for like mm-hmm. so much money and he sued Tamara. And it was like totally unfair what he was saying. He was accusing us of slander and right. like it put me through so much. And why would you do this again?
Yeah, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And John Jansen was Shannon's boyfriend when all of this was happening is the other thing.
Yes.
John was around for all of that.
So she's really trying to get her John side out of like how this is even more twisted. And it's like,
right.
Like, everyone knows it's crazy. We still like it.
Right. We love it. And
we know Shannon, this is terrible.
And during this confrontation, the real star is not Jesus Jugs. It's not Shannon. It is Shannon's blowout. I mean, it is serving.
Yes. Yeah.
Cunt in the best
she
way.
She looks the best she ever
best she's has. Ever looked. Yeah.
Yes. The whatever work she's had done in the meantime is
perfection.
Fantastic.
We love it.
Yeah, she just looks so great and like, yeah, is flipping her hair. She's just like the cuntiest that ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
Alexis is like, you know, Alexis has always been like someone who really wants to be like, thinks she appears like cool, smart, like, you know, like self-possessed, aloof on camera. But she's really like
very
kind
rehearsed.
Of like a sweet, ditzy, you yeah. know, like lady. And that kind of disconnect has always made her fascinating on camera. And never so much as in this scene where she says, she kind of like doesn't respond to anything Shannon is saying mm-hmm. because she's not absorbing it and mm-hmm. just goes, well, there's the door, Shannon Bedore.
I mean, how many times do you think she rehearsed that? The day met Johnny Jay.
Yes.
Where did she meet him, Lauren? Do you remember
the
this?
Quiet Woman, which is basically like the Alamo of Real Housewives.
Yeah, remember you remember the Alamo, and you remember Quiet Woman. And the other thing is, Quiet Woman has gone on record now since this episode come out that they're Team Alexis.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's getting so good.
Oh my God. And Shannon has got to say now, this isn't my restaurant, you fucking bitch.
And if you don't know what we're referencing when
we'll
we say
there.
That, you will get there, sweetheart.
You will get there. Yeah, yeah. 12 episodes later, but
never
hang
you
in there
worry. Yeah, hang yeah. in there.
It's worth it. Okay, that is the first episode of the OC. It's never too late to jump in. Even if you've never seen it before, just keep listening to our coverage. We'll get you all caught up. We're going to take a short break. Follow us on Instagram, Bravo_Breakdowns, TikTok, Bravo_Breakdowns. We'll be posting a lot of additional OC content to get you up to speed. And email us at bravobreakdowns@gmail.com if you have any pressing questions about OC. We'll be right back with our season one of OC recap after the short break.
Yay.
These girls are having a break.
Okay. I haven't been excited. Like, I haven't been excited to make a TikTok since the Valley, which is not good. Same. But now I'm excited again because the OC is really delivering.
Yeah, yeah. I hope, yeah. I think the big opportunity here.
Yeah.
To,
if Shannon keeps this hairstyle up, like, there's going to be a lot to do with this season.
Yeah. Okay.
And
we're back. So Real Housewives of Orange County was the first show in the Housewives canon. Mm-hmm. Season one aired from March to May 2006. And then they marathoned it afterwards to try to pick up viewers on Bravo. Do you remember watching when it first aired, Michelle?
I didn't watch it when it first aired. I didn't watch the first season of Housewives. Like, I didn't start watching until maybe 2010, which is still a really long time to be watching. I just realized it's like a 14 years of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 2009 I started, and then I went back and watched OC. But I did not watch OC when I actually think I started with New York.
Oh, really? Okay.
It wasn't OC that I was watching.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That OC, or that New York is your OG. Yeah,
My husband, though, he did watch OC when it came out. Yes. And he was
when he was in high school, right? He's like my age.
Yeah, yeah. And he had an affinity for one special gal.
Did we ever determine which special gal he enjoyed?
So he thought initially it was Vicky, but because he remembered the Kodo insurance. This was like a big thing for him. But then when I was rewatching season one, he was like, oh, I think it was Lori, because Lori worked in the, she also was working at Kodo. He was like, I think he had a little crush, to put it nicely, on Lori.
A formative boy-girl type thing.
Also, I think, you know, just because you know me and, like, what Lori goes through this season, which we'll talk about, like, I think he does, like, kind of a broken bird.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, an unstable woman.
Right.
An unquiet woman.
Problematic life. Yeah. So it probably was Lori.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Like, oh, yeah, so I watched this show when it was airing when I was, like, in high school. And it's crazy because, like, I remember so little of that time because I was, like, a seizure baby at that time. I was having, like, a lot of seizures and smoking a lot of pot, just a lot of brain damage.
Yeah.
But, like, what is so burned in my brain is still, like, this TV show that I would watch at my friend's house, especially the Joe and Slade stuff. But also I remember Lori, because she was like, everyone was always talking about how beautiful she was. And my friend's family would be like, she's so beautiful. But really it was like, it was the first time I'd ever seen someone with that much plastic surgery, with like chin implant, whose face looked so altered that I was like, I don't see it at all. Like, I thought that like Vicky was like, way more naturally pretty, like Regina. I was like, because they all had like faces that exist in nature.
Botox, like that. That's
no
one episode.
Vicky
this
gets
season
it on camera.
Vicky, she gets it on camera, and Brianna's like, "Ugh, mom, go to hell."
Yeah, and then like now, like looking at Lori's, she looks so normal to me and beautiful.
Right.
Like it's like I'm so,
used
to
it.
It's
like it's such a shock to go back and watch the season just because everybody's face is moving and you never saw that again. It was like you never saw a moving face on a Housewife show after this.
Yes. Yeah. It was
a shock.
Like black and white. Like
it's probably faces. Like what people felt like when they saw The Wizard of Oz for the first time and they were like, okay, it's a black and white movie, and then she's in Oz and it's color in Technicolor and you're like, whoa,
wrinkles on the forehead.
We're never going back. Technicolor for life, baby.
Yeah. It's just crazy. It's just crazy that this is where it all began. And what really like struck me rewatching was that like it's changed so little, honestly. Like the format is really the same. Like it's like you have the taglines.
They did
you
fix
have
that.
The storylines.
Yeah. The taglines are they did them so dirty. season.
The taglines were just pulled audio.
Yeah,
that they
pulled audio. Yeah,
was it, like dramatic.
It was before they hired comedy writers to do their taglines, and it was like a whole thing. So the taglines, like Lori's tagline this first season is like, were the police involved?
Which is fucked up.
Fucked up, actually. And like Vicky's is still my favorite tagline of all time, which is, well, maybe.
I want to get old.
I don't want to get old. Yeah. So good. Yeah.
I kind of appreciate the rawness.
So raw. You know, like,
it really reminds me of like, you know, like a show like 30 Rock or Friends or something where it's like the first season is like a little different and a little underdeveloped, mm-hmm. but it really has its own style that you can appreciate.
Yeah. It's
and
like
so much of the format is just already there.
Yeah. It was like the Wild West.
It was the Wild West. I mean, it was how did you feel rewatching it?
It was just kind of crazy to see how, I mean, in a lot of ways it's the same, but in so many ways it's different, like taglines, their faces moving, and, you know, because also, like, how involved the kids were the first season, and, like,
yes.
even at, like, the reunion, it's obviously a big production, it was not a thing the mm-hmm. first season, really, but, you know, we had old Reliable from the beginning, and that's Slade. It's
Slade.
So insane.
Yeah,
to
we'll get
rewatch
into him.
Slade his first season.
Yeah.
He's Slade. He's always Slade.
Slade. Back when he still had partial custody.
Slade.
Slade. I thought that
And a job.
We'll get into that. I have my suspicions on that. Like the thing that was like I really liked rewatching more than I thought I would, just because it's like it was like a yes, it's still so familiar, but I think it's going to be harder recapping just because they hadn't realized, like, apparently it took them like watching the ratings from this season and seeing that there was a spike in ratings when the women were together
mm-hmm.
to realize they needed to intertwine the storylines.
Right.
Like, it was just like a documentary kind of like of each family.
Yeah.
So like it's kind of hard to just like everyone's so separate to remember everything that happens, but it was like great. I feel like to watch, but like mm-hmm. I would lose my place all the time. I would just like, you know, rewatch a bunch and start different episodes.
I know,
like
it
all kind
so,
of washed over me.
Yeah. It's so crazy. Like Gina's talking about her son, Shane, and Shane. Who's mm-hmm. supposed to be this like baseball star? And it was like crazy because there was like one episode where Shane's like, "I'm a virgin, but I'm not gay."
Yeah, yeah, which prompted everyone to think he was gay.
And I was just like, "Would they like still like do this on the show now?" I don't know.
Yeah, it was definitely
raw.
Like, I think they do it in Jersey. Like, Jersey is still more of this OC format of, like, we're focused on the families.
Right.
Like, the kids are kind of cast members.
The
like, Brianna
are very
always
involved.
Got confessionals. Like, Gia does. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, but I think the way that they edit the kids in these early seasons and kind of, like, you can tell producers are encouraging the kids to, like, bratty. You
and
know, I don't
lighting,
think they would do that.
Everyone gets a soft light now.
Full glam, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me get a little bit into like boring history lesson of the Housewives franchise and its evolution. Also made by Evolution Media.
Love.
So this was like in the dawn of reality TV, the early times, mm-hmm. Survivor, the Osbournes, you know, Real World.
Mm-hmm.
And so like they knew the audiences. Bravo like had just acquired NBC Universal. They'd had this big hit Queer Eye for mm-hmm. the straight guy, the original, which I prefer. And they knew that people had like curiosity about workplaces or like how other people lived, you know, or mm-hmm. families. And so they Queer Eye was such a hit that Bravo was like, okay, we're going to go out on a limb and we're going to plan this, our whole schedule, our whole programming around this curiosity in this one show. It's going to be a bunch of workplaces.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be flipping out where it's like homes. It's going to be like Blowout, which is mm-hmm. hair salons. And then it would be great if we could do like a woman focused show.
Well, you know, like, and Andy said that they stole the idea directly from the TV show Desperate Housewives. They were like, we should do this, but make it a reality show.
Yeah. I think it was inspired by that. Like, that was, I think, a lot of the way that they could pitch it.
Mm-hmm.
But at first, the way the idea first came up was Scott Dunlop, who lived in Kodo, he thought the Keoghs were like a really weird, interesting family, which they are. Like, mm-hmm. Gina Keough was like a former Playboy bunny turned realtor. So she had kind of mm-hmm. that Hollywood past, and mm-hmm. she married a major leaguer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, their kids were all like, you know,
straight.
She's very straight. And they were kind of like, you know, trying to, they were kind of pageant momming right. them into becoming baseball players. Right. So he was like, oh, okay, maybe it would be funny if, like, yeah, this was kind of we focused on them, and it was like a Desperate Housewives type mm-hmm. show where it was like all these ladies, like, and they want to fuck their pool boys like, in my neighborhood.
Women. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he wanted to make it kind of more like a Curb Your Enthusiasm style semi-improvised show where it would be fake setups.
Oh, okay, because I was like, who would be Larry David? Vicky?
I mean, Vicky was obviously.
I don't want to get old. Hilarious.
I don't want to get old. The Larry David style star. Lauren, I think like the real person who like, does not get enough credit, who I feel like is really like the genius behind this show, was Lauren Zalesnik. And she like found some ladies, he recorded some tapes, but apparently it was like 200 different characters. Like, it was like you met, like, you know, the mayor of the city, the guy who worked in City Hall, like the, you know, guy who worked at the parks. It was mm-hmm. just like crazy, and it was all like very scripted, and
right.
You know, she was like, this is like fucking nuts. And she's like, I think that it needs to be like just focus on women, mm-hmm. strong women, because look at the most successful cable network of all time, Lifetime,
mm-hmm.
and it's because they focus on women, but the women are all like victims of, you know, like their boyfriend slept with their daughter.
Stalked by My Doctor is one of my favorite Lifetime movies.
Stalked by My Doctor. Yeah, and she's like, in this one, the women will stalk the doctors. The doctors. They mm-hmm. are the CEOs of their lives. Mm-hmm. They are the ones in power.
Mm-hmm.
She really had the idea for aspirational programming.
Mm-hmm.
And she hated, you know what I love that she said that is still like such a thing of our podcast today? She's like, I hate the term guilty pleasure
right.
for women's shows.
Seriously.
People never call sports guilty pleasure.
Nope.
Like, this is good programming, and, you know, we're putting our heart and soul into it, and we're treating our performers with so much respect. Like, and that is, you know, she's still ahead of her time, and that people still don't get that about reality TV. Sorry, off my soapbox. So then they go back to the drawing board. They know they need to find more cast members. And that's when a young man named Michael Wolfsmith writes an essay submission, mostly focusing on his helicopter mom / insurance salesman mom. And they fall in love with this insane woman, Vicky Gunvalson. She's an ingenue. And they actually go to her house, and she's like, I don't know why you want me. Like, I'm not pretty, which breaks my heart.
So
like,
fucked up.
I also think she's so beautiful.
I think Vicky's always been beautiful.
Yeah. But I think it's like, you know, we see a lot of flashbacks to her in this early, you know.
Yeah.
And in this first season where it's like her with her first husband, and she was like a checkout girl with a perm and bad mm-hmm. teeth and stuff. And I think inside she's always felt like that,
right.
like an imposter creating her yeah. own life. And that's also what made her such dynamic
right.
TV. Yeah. And they were like, Vicky, we love you. Camera loves you. And she's like, All right. And then that's how they also met Lori, because mm-hmm. She was working at Vicky's office. Vicky had given her a job because she was like a down on her luck divorcee. She wanted more women to work. And it's so funny. That's how like my mom got her job too, was that like she had like a friend who loved working. And even though my mom had like three kids under the age of six, she was like, her friend was very like, all women should work all the time. Like, her work as an assistant. Anyway, this show just reminds me a lot of my childhood.
Boss babes.
And then the final piece Kimberly was another one, but she was like a trophy wife who moved from Chicago, but she didn't work on the show that well, so we won't give her a lot of time. But mm-hmm. thank you for your service, Kimberly. And mm-hmm. then, of course, Slade Smiley tried to sell himself to casting pretty hard, and they said, it's really like mostly about women,
mm-hmm.
But we will, like, it looks like you have like a serious girlfriend, right. You know, we can focus on her. And
Slade
was like,
Slade Smiley, more like Slade's. Slimy. He's a slime ball.
Yeah. He's like a 36-year-old
dad of two.
Slash cyclist. Slash, yeah, dad of two.
Slash maybe VP of insurance. We're not sure.
We're not sure. Again, yeah, we're gonna.
But he's got a PYT, a pretty young thing, Joe. And he wants to keep her kept like a trad wife.
Yes. And which I basically think that's so that if she's not at her job, she's at home, which means she will have to be with him in scenes. Yeah. So I think that's basically like the whole idea behind it. We'll get into them and their psychosexual games later. But yeah, a lot of their appeal was that like, you know, it was a little bit cheekily modeled after Desperate Housewives. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of the Eva Longoria character because she was like very young and she was
drunk,
a Peruvian immigrant. Yeah. Like, you know, it's supposed to be the fiery Latina, even though she reminds me so much of Sandra Bullock.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Do you see that?
With the girl next door quality.
Yes, and just her expressions and stuff, like the way she's such a star to me, honestly.
She was, you know, even those like calls, those drunk calls, like, "Hi, I know it's like 2 a.m., but I love you," to Slade. And he's like, "Oh, wait, it's 3? It's 3 a.m.?"
I know, so Sandy.
We love
it. So Miss Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality, indeed.
So it was also Lauren Zalesnik's idea to name it The Real Housewives of Orange County. And everyone fought her on this name, but it was a nod to like The OC, which was like a popular show, and Desperate Housewives. And it was like a wink, you know, because it was her. She basically is the one who decided Bravo should be canned. She's like, these like are the real housewives. It's like they're not, you know, plotting murder and like, but they, you know, do have their own drama. They work, they have families.
Yes. And it's like, you have to appeal to the people watching your network. It's the girls, it's the gays, it's the theys. And this is what we need.
Exactly. And she knew that. She just saw it all. She's just such a friggin' genius. Mm-hmm. And she also saw that it needs to be The OC. Everyone was like, this was so clunky. And she was like, no, it has to be Real Housewives of The OC, so that if it becomes a franchise, we can have spinoff cities. Mm-hmm. And everyone fought her. Shari Levine fought her. Andy fought her. They were like, there's no way. I don't see it. Da, da, da. And she fought for it and she got it. And in fact, they almost shelved the show because the initial footage looked so shitty. And she said, no, she fought for it. I just feel like everyone should know their history. Mm-hmm. The children have forgotten Lauren Zalesnik and the children should be thankful.
Yes. Never forget where you came from.
Yes.
And we come from the gates of Kodo.
Yes, which is our intro. It starts with tinkling music, B-roll of golfing, diamonds in a jewelry store, luxury cars in garages, Vicky crawling out of the water and slowly walking out of the beach, whooping it up and swimming with Dawn in her beautiful lagoon-like pool that looks like a water park.
Yes.
And then we get our taglines with B-roll of each woman to introduce them, starting with Vicky, which hers, as we mentioned before, is, I don't want to get old.
With that inflection.
Get old. What would the new 2024 version of this tagline be? Like new Housewives version.
If it was still Vicky saying it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to pull something she's already said, which is, oh God. Isn't it sad we're all going to die one day? I'm so sad. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes. No, that would be her new tagline would be, if I die today, tell everyone she died sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Vicky, what makes her so great, and she's still so great, is that she's so like, she's always trying to act like Eeyore, but if Eeyore, like, got a full, like, facelift and Botox and is, like, in charge of this, like, insanely successful company, but she's always just kind of got a little sadness to her.
She's so, and I think she and Shannon are kind of, like, dual sides of this point, where they're both so energetically needy, like, where they're so, like, you know, because, like, a lot of, like, needy, depressed people are, like, you know, low energy, and the way she just,
she's
like,
so high energy, though.
Is doing and doing and doing, but while she's being just sad. Sucking and sucking and sucking and needing, you know, it's just, it's
like
great.
She's always talking about her love tank needing to be filled. She's still trying to find Mr. You know, it's just always something with Vicky. But then it's like, at the same time, it's like, I want to party with Vicky. I want to whoop it up at Andale's. So, things.
Honestly, like, especially in this early season where she, you know, so many of her storylines are like with Brianna, and she's like such an involved mom,
right.
and she's, you know, trying to set her up and like throwing her this big graduation party. I mean, my mom wasn't into like Keeping Up with the Joneses like that or anything, but she really reminds me of like if my mom was evil, like like a Wario version.
Oh my God. I would love to see that version of your mom, because your mom is actually like a the kindest soul.
Yes, she's like, my mom is like unable to take anything from anyone.
No,
like
she's
overly generous. Yeah. And like, I wish she would maybe, you know, replenish herself a little bit. But like,
but
I feel
won't.
Like Vicky,
she
refuses.
Your mom is too busy making me beach sandwiches.
Yes, yes.
She's like, she, I made your roast beef sandwich. I just, here you go. Like, thank you.
Thank you.
She's like, you need to eat something, Michelle. Here's a roast beef sandwich. You want hummus? I got you hummus. I got you the tea that you wanted. I made party dip. Lauren likes party dip. You like Lauren. Do you like party dip?
And that is Vicky, too. But yeah. Vicky, in the same breath of, like, I, you know, like, Brianna, you know, like, I, you know, invited everyone to this. And then, like, you know, here's this guy I want you to meet. And, and you know, here's this. It's also, like, and do you love me?
Right.
Am I enough? Do you need me?
Am I the best mom that you know? And it's, like, you know, she's so, like, the advice that she gives her children is just so special to me. Like, when, you know, Michael's not doing well at school and he has to retake a class to get his GPA up or whatever, and Vicky's trying to help him, and she's saying, like, okay, Michael, like, when you go back to school, like, only party one night and probably make the drinking night like a Saturday when you don't have school. I think that will really help you with your grades.
And it works. The next season, his GPA is up. Like, it's very realistic
advice. We learn about all of their GPAs at the end, which is so funny.
Lots of 2.8s just across the board.
Yeah.
Okay, and so then the next tagline, next character we see is Joe DeRosa.
Mm-hmm.
And her tagline is about her scene partner and loathsome fiancé Slade. He's
pretty
much
keeping me. Yeah, I called Joe also Gretchen 1.0.
Yeah, I like Joe so much more than Gretchen.
No, she was cooler than Gretchen, who is still not married to Slade.
The thing about Joe and Slade, and the thing that they like the production said about them too, is that like it was all kind of, they're like Spidey, you know, like a lot of it was planned and fake, and it was just like kind of a fun game to them. But there also was like love there, so like they would just let the cameras roll on them and scenes like because at first they were still trying to figure it out. They're like, this is all weird. Okay, so, like, we see, you know, this kind of, like, fake domestic scene where it's like, oh, you know, kids, here's Joe, your bonus
mom,
you know, your OC mom. And, you know, the kids are awkward and uncomfortable because I think they, you know, just brought them out to shoot. Slade is famously not a great dad. And then later we see, like, Joe have a drink and she puts on a feather boa and a French maid outfit and straddles him. And it's all very, like, weird and fake and uncomfortable. And that's like half and half with their scenes. Like you see, like, you know, a lot of like weird fake conflict and Slade like kind of being a jerk for no reason for storyline and like them going head to head. And it's kind of hard to discern what's fake and what's real, but eventually they do get to the real. Like, I think for me, the most compelling like a scene with them was the scene where they sit down at lunch and Slade is like, you're always, you know, going out with your friends on nights we have the kids, which also I think was like kind of fake. Like, I think that like they don't have the kids that much. It was like kind of just a storyline. But then slowly after a while, they get to the bottom of it where he's like, I mean, you're going out drinking, you're flirting with guys. And she's like, well, you do the same thing, but during the day when you're at work, you're hanging out at clubs and drinking. And like, I saw you flirting with like a lady there. And it's like, it seems like he's pretending like he's Mr. like, I've got a good job, I'm six figures, da, da, da. But it seems like I think he didn't really have a job. And they're always hinting at kind of like exposing each other or exposing each other's lies on camera. And that's kind of how they get off. Did you get that at all? Like, I feel like his job was fake this season.
It's psychosexual. And I liked it though. I was turned on. The French maid outfit, the, you know, but being at home, you know, maybe it's like a whole role playing thing with them. Like,
because
I think Slade actually does need her to get a job because he doesn't have money.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's.
And that's the crazy thing is like, she says that she wants to get a job and he won't let her. And he says, She
here's the Mercedes.
Doesn't want to get a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's there, like, it just doesn't really make much sense. And it's hard to like know what's true and what's real.
Right.
Yeah. But what is real for sure is they do like break up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like a fake, you know, Bethany and Jill breakup. It's like they really, you know, are fighting too much and can't figure it out.
Yeah.
And then like we do get a really real moment of Joe, like, you know, getting drunk and like weeping on camera.
Mm-hmm.
But then later we find out that in the epilogue, which we get the epilogues mm-hmm. too already, like we get the, you know, the music and the like, you know, catching everyone up on like what has happened since the ends on the finale episode.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Joe and Slade were still broken up. Slade started dating Lori, another cast member. And so then Joe and Slade got back together.
Mm-hmm.
Which
brings us to Lori.
Oh, I do want to say one more thing, though. You did say you were turned on by them. Andy apparently had the hots for Slade and Lori.
That's why he kept him around so long.
Yeah, because there's no other reason.
Interesting.
Interesting. Lori, who, yeah, was the lady who turned everyone on this first season.
My husband.
And Andy. Andy loved her, too, because this early season was modeled on, like, old soap operas, like Knot's Landing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she was the soap archetype of, like, you know, the lady from the wrong side of the tracks, like, who's fallen on bad times but wants to make good and is, you know, beautiful. Her tagline is, "Are the police involved?"
It's very fucked
because
up.
Because her son and, yeah, it's kind of her storyline feels... This part feels a little more like Intervention
yes.
than like Housewives.
Yeah.
I don't think we get this down and dirty about a kid these days.
Right.
Yeah, it's like her son, Josh, is really messed up from like her, you know,
divorce.
Abusive divorce.
Yeah.
And he's like in and out of juvie, having problems with drugs.
He's been to rehab. He's very young. I think he's like 13 here, isn't he? Like 13 or 14.
Yeah,
he's very young.
And it's so tough because, well, like nowadays when I see that stuff on camera, like when I see Tamara, you know, trying to use her kids on camera, it's like, oh, you're a piece of shit. But like, it kind of is sympathetic because it's like, man, they actually really need the money of shooting.
Yeah.
But it's, you're making it so much worse by putting him on camera, you know?
Yeah,
so, like, but it's like,
does,
it is a tough situation.
He does like confessionals and he's talking about it. And then we see him, like, he's in a psychiatric hold. Like, it's very dark. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about her son because it is pretty.
It is dark.
Just like, as a mother, like, that's a very, I can't actually imagine what that must have been like. And then to have to talk about it on screen must have been horrifying.
So difficult. And but also something where it was like she was in the position where I could see it being something she felt like she had to do for the opportunity.
Right. It was a great opportunity.
It does work out well for her family in the end,
mm-hmm.
but we'll get to that later. But her storyline that does feel more right for the world and less like really sad is that her 19-year-old beautiful like ditzy daughter decide like all of a sudden like comes home from LA and
oh
is like
God.
Actually I'm moving back in and I have a dog and I don't want to work and I want you to take care of the
dog. And also I don't want to work and remember Lori just finds Ashley like walking around on the street and she's like, what are you doing? Ashley's like, I lost my car and it turns out I'd been repossessed
because she wasn't making
the
payment.
She's like, I tried making a payment but there wasn't any money in there. And Lori's like, because you quit your job the day you got the car.
Yeah, and like she, you know, tries to bring her to Kodo and she refuses to work there. She refuses
right.
to nanny or babysit
right.
for her like youngest sister.
Right.
It's just very like, you know, in keeping with the rest of this first season, which was about like, you know, bratty kids and long-suffering
right.
moms and yeah.
Yeah.
So that brings us to speaking of bratty kids, to Gina Keough,
my
who
goodness.
Was cast. The first one cast, she was the glue. You know, she was the Kyle Richards type center square mm-hmm. thing. Then next we have Gina, whose tagline is, it's just money and you can't take it with you. Gina Keough is the down-to-earth one. She was the first one cast. She was the glue. She's the big spender. Her tagline, I think, like, you could mm-hmm. that could still be a tagline today. It's just money, and you can't take it with you, but I'd like to, you know, it's like normal.
Yeah, it was like a real tagline. She found a comedy writer who wasn't union.
Yes, yeah, she got a freelancer. Because it's like, you know, that's like most of the taglines now. They're like about money, like, you know,
about
attitude.
God liking you best, being mm-hmm. very best, Paige Parks. Love her.
So Gina is a former model and Playboy playmate turned realtor mm-hmm. who was, she tells us she was scouted by former major leaguer Matt Keogh.
And his mom.
And his mom, because she seemed like a prime specimen to be his mate.
To have kids with, yeah.
To beget him a baseball heir.
Right.
Is that how you married Jason, you and your mom?
His family, I was in a lineup. And they were like, look at her hip size. She will give us child. And but they didn't care if they, you know, the kid's going to be a baseball heir. My daughter probably will not be. But
you know. Will be like, you know, an academia heir, possibly.
Yes,
like,
yes.
She is.
Will, yeah.
Like, mind.
My father-in-law, Jason's dad, and both Jason have auditioned multiple times to be on Jeopardy. Never made it. Last round, Jason got to talk to producers, but didn't make it. So maybe Ruby will be on Jeopardy someday.
Oh, especially like if you, this new pop culture one, if you had a family team, that's a strong like character pitch to casting.
It's so scary. Like, I don't think mm-hmm. Ruby's going to be into pop culture, and it makes me.
I know, that's tough.
What am I supposed to do? Like, it's so hard. Like, you try so hard as a parent.
I mean, I know it's every parent's worst nightmare. Like, never did I think that I have a stepson whose like version of pop culture is just like looking at Google Maps.
Oh my God.
Just looking at maps, that's his like
no,
fun thing instead of
Jason
TV.
No, that's what Jason does. It's so, oh my God, this is starting to explain a lot. Like, literally, it's like, I don't know if I said Debbie Matenopoulos to my daughter, she would know what I'm saying. And that's.
Yeah, she doesn't know Debbie Matenopoulos from George Stephanopoulos.
Oh my God.
And that's the truth. Let's,
and you know
now
what?
We said it.
You know what? I don't either. And they're both the greatest journalists we have, in my opinion. So
yeah, they're my top two.
My top two. Matenopoulos.
The name on everyone's lips in 1995.
Matenopoulos.
Stephanopoulos.
Okay,
back to Gina, so she is like a mom of three, and she's really juxtaposed to Vicky, where Vicky is like this helicopter parent who's like always hovering, you know, like over her, you know, her husband always being like her, you know, like Vicky's husband Don is like a nice laid back guy, and she's always like,
Don.
Oh, you need to go to Sacramento, you get another job, you need to put this house
up. Oh, I love Don.
Don is great. But Matt, we mostly are.
He just walks around with weird sunglasses and sometimes.
Yeah, it's like they're avoiding each other. He's kind of kept on camera. Later we find out it's because their marriage wasn't doing very well and he had a drinking problem.
Oh, boy.
So mostly we see her with the kids who are Shane, not gay Shane.
Not gay not gay Keo.
Not Keo, who it's like, it's his like college track where it's like, clearly he's like not the athlete they were hoping he would be. His like baseball auditions, is that what they're called? Are not going great.
Right. Yeah. He didn't. He did terribly in front of the casting directors at baseball.
Baseball. Mm-hmm. And like he was going to be a baseball understudy on the Oakland A's, but he rejected the offer. And we've got the her middle child, Kara, who is like a typical middle child. Like, you couldn't script it better, where she's very like, I'm ignored because I'm not the baby and I'm not, you know, Shane, God's gift to baseball. So like, well, you know, I try to get my mom's attention by spending her money. Like, literally
money,
like, says that.
Is she the one that can't like back out with the car? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the window doesn't open. So she gets a new car.
Why do you guys always do this to me? It's like.
Relatable, honestly.
She's like, she's like, who parked this car? I was like, you did. She's like, God, you guys always do this to me. It's like, what? They make it so you can't back out.
Yeah,
so, and it's a Mercedes. No, I think it's a BMW. She has a BMW.
Yeah, she's a very
funny.
Her- she's like Becky from Roseanne, except if she was rich.
if she was rich. Yeah. Do you remember when Shane, like the day Shane's like going off to college, like Gina's like, say bye to your brother. And she's like, for what?
Yes.
your brother's going to college, Shane. She's like, he is? I don't care. Like, that's, I don't care. Like, that she had no idea.
Yes, that and that's like also what's juxtaposed is that like Brianna, we see her graduation party, and it's like, you know, Vicky has flown in her dad and all of these people, everyone she's ever met is completely packed. Everyone's celebrating her, and then we see like Shane's graduation party, and it's just Shane sitting in the pool like the graduate on her floats.
Yeah.
And then later they try to get him to hook up with Joe to really complete that graduate thing.
He's saving himself. He's a good Christian man.
Yes. And also the thing
and also in high school, Joe.
And also in high school, yeah. I mean, that all felt forced. Like, I was clearly producer driven, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of Joe and Slade's weird psychosexual on camera
games. Yeah, yeah.
Like, does that turn you on? Because fucking this very not gay Shane.
Very not gay Shane, who was draft pick. There was 1,000 other people ahead of him. So he was going to a junior college. And Slade's like, yes, I'm so erect.
Hot. you know who I actually find kind of cute? Uncle Richie. Uncle Richie, Matt Keogh's like you know, kid brother who for some reason is always around the house. They really are like a very sitcom family.
Okay,
like,
but
I see why the show is based around them.
Yeah, no, I kind of find Slade attractive this season.
Oh my god, Michelle.
Babyface Slade.
Babyface. Yeah, I mean it was before, I mean, I honestly think he looks the same in his.
Yeah, no.
He's just gotten slimier.
He's just
like,
gotten
physically and emotionally.
This was still when he was Slade Smiley, Ricky Smiley, from the Ricky Smiley show, or the son of Ricky Smiley. No. There's just something really attractive about him trying to impress that billionaire when he's doing a sales pitch. Anyway, we'll get back to.
Yeah.
To Dina's kids, who I don't want to fuck any of them.
Yeah, and let's hope not. Also, like, it seems like she has a really nice relationship with, like, the youngest one. Like, he, you know, like, gets into some trouble and, like, breaks his foot or something. And she's like, and then, you know, she, like, talks to him about what happened. And he's like, I really feel like I could always talk to my mom. And, like, you know, we're really close and stuff. And so, yeah, it's like, it's very, you know. The sitcom dynamics. Wholesome. Yeah.
Crazy. Like,
but also it's because of the way that Gina is a producer. You know, she's a realtor. She's always, you know, like in control. Like, let me show you guys this. Let me show you guys that. Don't shoot this. We're not seeing her, you know, husband, who seems like kind of an asshole.
Right.
As well as like having the disease of addiction, where it's like apparently he was less attracted to her because she gained weight. And that was a big part of what was happening in the season. So we mostly see like kind of like the, you know, sitcom image because Gina was, that was like very much wanted to control that.
Right. And like Gina's husband probably should have been a housewife just for the addiction to alcohol.
That's true. That's a big, you know, OC.
Yeah. Alcoholism.
Casting point. Yeah. That's a big, that's what the kind of what we're looking for. especially, lately. Oh, okay. One more thing about Shane being not gay. It is like the way that he talks about women is so like 40-year-old virgin where he's like the kind of girl I met this girl and she was like the main girl of all of the girls. Like she, you know, she was with the girl, but she was like the main one, like the leader. And then, I like that, like the ones who are pretty and the leader of the girls. And also I like butts.
Butts. And then remember he buys, like he goes to the mall and to buy like stuff for college, and he just goes to some store, but they have to like blur out the bag for whatever store he got a shirt that said Buck Fuddy.
Oh yes. So like Venice boardwalk ass.
It's funny because it's like fuck buddy, but it's like you've never had sex with anybody, like you don't just jump into having a fuck buddy.
He thought it was like a baseball player. He was like, I love Buck Fuddy.
I like Buck Fuddy. He played for like the 82 Orioles.
And he
caught Shane's eye for sure.
So then, the last tagline we have is Kimberly, who says another really tagline I wish we would bring back, which is 80% of the women around here have breast implants. not even about her. Like, about does her, have yeah. them, but she does. She's just like observational.
It's crazy. That tagline is, yeah. I mean, we're really dealing with like the top two taglines in Housewives history between like Vicky not wanting to get old, and then, you know, Kimberly being like 85% of the women around here have breast implants. She's just giving a statistic, and yes. I need more statistics yes. in my Housewife taglines. Give me hard it. Numbers. Thank you.
Yes, like Shannon Bedore, her tagline should have been like, you know, 1 in 5 people have DUIs and end up like recovering from alcohol abuse without becoming completely sober. Right. Like, that would be good for her case.
Yeah. 2 drinks a night does not equal alcoholism. The CDC says up to 5 drinks a night.
Yeah. Just binge drinking.
Per the CDC's latest study.
The CDC is studying. Kimberly does not do a ton this season.
No.
She clearly like is not super comfortable on camera.
Right.
And also, you know, the thing is, like, I do think she was important though, because she was like, even though she didn't have a strong storyline, because what did happen in her life was she ended up having skin cancer,
right.
Or like a scare.
Yeah.
And like, she did not want to share her fear and her pain on camera.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to be like, I'm in control of this. I don't, I feel like it's weak to show any vulnerability or feelings around this.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she did eventually break down about it, she like really was like, oh, I, you know, she ended up moving back to Chicago from Orange County. She just didn't like opening her, you know,
her life up
like that.
Yes.
Yeah. But she was so good at, she was like a Gina or an Emily, I almost feel like.
Oh.
Like a kind of like not filler, but like someone who like, there are so many strong personalities, and she was the one
you
who was
kind of
ground like,
it.
Oh, yeah, it's like, oh, I'll shoot with Joe. I'll ask her what's going on with Slade. You know, I'll push other people's stories along, because like, I don't necessarily want to talk about my own life. It's like, that is important too.
It
you
is
know?
Important work. And she's also polling these women to see if they had breast implants, to see if her math is correct in her tagline.
Right. So she's also a, a detective.
Detective Kimberly. Yeah.
Kimberly. putting together all the calculations.
Mm-hmm. Boop, 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 boop. That's her little calculator.
And it spells out boobs.
Yes, boobs. You know, if you put in the number 80085 and look at it upside down, it says boobs. You can't do it with the graphing calculator, because you actually get letters with those.
Yes. Oh, you're such an accountant.
I know.
So those are like the main storylines, I feel like, this season.
Yeah. So like for Shane, like if we're talking of like, if we were talking like Shane, like who would be like the main girl?
The main girl. Obviously, Vicky.
I know.
It's very like with Gina, I think I've made this reference before on the podcast or this comparison. It's very like Friends, you know, where it's like they cast Courtney Cox to be the lead.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was like Jennifer Aniston kind of, you know, emerged as the star.
Yeah.
And so is the case with Vicky. It was just so like naked on camera, you know, she's nakedly herself,
everything she does, it's crazy.
Like, even without like, you know, she's just making so many moments that would still work on TV, like when she you know, goes to the work trip and she's like trying to set Brianna up, but she's also kind of like flirting with guys. She makes everything like, even before they realize that drama and conflict are what you need, she just creates so much tension.
She does. Well, even with Lori, Lori working in her office and like her just being like
judging
the fuck out of her, Lori. Like, what the fuck?
And Lori has no idea. She's like, she thinks she's doing a great job or whatever. And Vicky's like, I'm like about to fire her.
I know, seriously. And like, Lori is just like, but it's like Vicky, you know, even when she doesn't even realize that she's like kind of being a bitch to the other cast members. And it's great.
She's just such a natural. And then we'll really see that in season 2 and in the first episode, where she really changed the face of Bravo forever when a certain trip goes wrong. Let's talk a little bit about how the reunion and how different it was. Like, the first, I would say, it's two-thirds.
Oh my god, yes.
It's just them talking about, like, fan reception. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like still
fan
their talking
reception,
heads.
Joe's talking, yeah, like, Joe's talking about, like, you know, because, okay, at the end of the last episode, like, episode 7, there's only 8 episodes, 7 episodes and then one reunion. Like, mm-hmm. you see the, you know, that Joe and Slade broke up, but in, like, 3 weeks after that, Slade and Lori saw each other at a club, and then they got together, and then, like, 2 weeks later, Slade was back with Joe. But
because Joe saw them at a club, and then Joe said, nice fucking dates.
Yeah.
And like, the reason we know that is...
Yeah. For a lot of... Yeah, it's... But here's what I liked about the reunion. Like, they kind of made them reenact these crazy scenes. Like, you see...
Yes.
Yeah, we... Like, they are reenactors. That's always been, like, my dream, to be a reenactor. It's like, you know, when you watch, like, a show and they're, like, talking about, like, a crime scene, and then they have, like, actors, like, reenacting, and like, you see them in the club, blah, 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 like, mm-hmm. the last night. Like, they did that with Lori. Like, she's holding a drink in some... I don't know, like, I guess it's a club. There's, like, lights everywhere, and she's, like, looking around. You know, it's like, oh, and she spotted Slade. It's, I wish they would bring back the reenact, like, having them reenact yes. stuff that didn't make it to camera.
I would love, that would be so, yeah, and it would be so, like, let's have Kathy Hilton,
yes.
you know, say the get her, F slur.
Yeah, get her back in a Sprinter van with Lisa Rinna, even though it's been years since this happened. We deserve to, like, because we know that they reshoot scenes all of the time.
Yes.
So, like, just
yes.
do it for the reunions, yeah. too. I don't, yeah, I actually liked this style of reunion.
I loved it. And it was so casual, and it yeah. also kind of showed, like, we don't need Andy that much, you
we
know.
Don't.
Like, we don't. As if he's not going to be asking the hard hitting questions, like, you know, we need either like an Anderson Cooper in there. It's
okay.
really, you know, or a Barbara Walters, or
From the Grave.
From the Grave, the ghost.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, she'll be a girl. But are you on The View? Is this The View?
Yeah, it was, but honestly, that was more the feel. It was more of The View. It was mm-hmm. like, it was just gals in Vicky's backyard gabbing it up, laughing about.
Honestly, this. it was giving me like vintage View, The View.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was,
guess who? Debbie Manitopoulos, full circle.
She only was last in one season on The View, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, just the one season.
But became an archetype for the annoying non-conservative lady.
Yes. not to do. Yeah.
What not to do.
I don't think she was conservative. She wasn't a conservative. She was just really young. She was like 21. And they were like, we need a young girl's point of view. And then they were like, never
too
mind.
Young, too young.
We need a young, but sort of not that young, established blonde. This is The View, not Real Housewives of OC. But you could actually use that same formula for Real Housewives of OC, because most
it's
of them
honestly not
are
dissimilar.
Blonde. They're yeah. all blonde Republicans.
Yes, but then this was they usually need a brunette in there. Like
yeah.
like seasons are stronger when we have one brunette.
Right.
And I don't think we've ever. Well, I think that like OC has more of a precedent for sometimes throwing someone young in the mix and
mm-hmm.
them still being able to make it work. You
right.
know, like. Our Megan, you know, Kings, like our Joe was the blueprint for that, I would
yes,
say.
Yes, our little Joe, our little mm-hmm. drunk Joe.
Our little drunk Joe, who honestly, I feel like was very mature beyond her years. Doesn't get enough credit for that. You know, okay, sorry, one more thing before we wrap it up. One thing that really bothers me is like when I was doing my research on this season, Joe seems so like, remorseful mm-hmm. of like the way she led Slade on when
oh.
it's like,
he's awful.
I feel like, I don't know, even watching the season then and now, I was like, he's such a controlling dick.
No, that's
like,
what I'm saying. He was awful.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said she's awful. Yeah.
No.
Like,
he
I really
awful.
Like what was reflected to me, because to me, it's like, you know, like Gen Z or like, you know, online, it's like, we're so like, oh my gosh, you know, like this, you know, 24-year-old dating this, you know, controlling
mm-hmm.
man in his
mm-hmm.
30s, like she's
mm-hmm.
being groomed, she's being
right.
preyed on.
Right.
But for me personally, my experiences as like a teenager or like a young 20-something dating like guys in their 30s, I mean, granted, the guys I was dating in my 30s, none of them even had partial custody.
Lord.
I was like, I knew they sucked. Like, you know, it's like, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, they've got such power over me. I was like, no, this is like a fucking loser.
Yeah.
And like, he doesn't have control over me. We're both playing this weird sex game. And that really is that's the vibe I get from Joe and Slade. It's like,
mm-hmm.
he's like being shitty and controlling, but like the reason she's allowing it to happen is like, she's like, well, I don't really like He's a fucking loser. Like, I don't need him.
What?
You know?
Yeah, he's a fucking loser. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, it is the funniest scene to me this entire season is Slade. I guess he's reenacting with, you know, some extra, like, his sales pitch to a billionaire. You know what I'm talking about? And he was recounting it back to Joe, and he's like, yeah, I'm trying to sell him this amazing product, whatever the hell it was. And this billionaire guy, really powerful, he keeps looking up at his TV. He keeps looking over at his emails. Like, he's not paying any attention to me. And we see, like, B-roll of this happening with Slade and some extra. And Joe's like, oh my God, babe.
Yeah, it's like she can't even pretend it's real, you know? Yes. It's like, she's not even going to give him
I know, like, yeah, whatever. She's like, I just want to drive the Mercedes, just leave me alone. Yeah, I'll pretend to be a mom to your children, but I'm not coming home till 3 a.m, got it?
Yeah, I hate that she has any, like, regrets about, like, the way she treated him or it came across, right. You know, especially, like, with the guy he turns out to be. Like, I just thought she was, you know, badass.
Yeah, he was the blueprint for... No, he wasn't the blueprint. Wait, no, never mind. I guess Spencer Pratt was actually Slade's blueprint, honestly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was, he's so similar to Spencer in that, like, he always has, like, that's the kind of partner he's looking for, is someone to keep him on camera and play these games with him. And, like, that's their life and their brand together.
Mm-hmm.
As it is with his wife to this day. And then also he's okay with looking like an asshole.
Right.
He just wants to be, he's such a grifter. He's on TV for any opportunity.
And he, yeah. Except here's the difference between Spencer and Slade. Spencer openly talks about, I'll be on TV. I'll do whatever you want. I'll literally do any reality show. Just get my face back on TV. Where Slade will always just sort of pretend like this isn't what he really wants. And it, like, we will see as we recap more seasons, this is exactly who Slade is.
Yes. Slade, like, Spencer, even, like, though on the show, it's like he's like a villain. He's playing a villain. Slade, like, is kind of a real life villain. And that's why he won't admit. Like, that's why he won't be like, oh, this is just like my career or anything, because that's just kind of who he is. He's morally bankrupt.
The morally corrupt Faye Bresnik.
Yes, the morally corrupt Slade Smiley.
Mm.
So I would say the theme of this season, Michelle, is to quote Reese Witherspoon, women's stories matter. They do. Women's stories matter.
Thanks, Reese.
Yes.
Honestly, Reese could have been a great housewife. Did you ever see that video of when she got her DUI?
Oh my God, so good. I am an American citizen.
I am a citizen of America, and you are not treating me right. I have rights, okay? I'm a citizen of America. Get this woman on reality TV.
Love it. The Alabama jumped out.
Mm-hmm. Sweet home Alabama, indeed.
Real Housewives of Nashville would be great. Yeah. It would be so good.
Yeah.
Or even like, Montgomery. Okay, so some motifs that we saw this season that we love. We've seen A Woman in Crisis.
Love it.
Is very OC.
This is where Lauren and I really, Women in Crisis is... Yeah, we have
that's our
real deal. We have a real affinity for that.
That's our psychosexual obsession.
That's our psychosexual.
Like, that's our genre of anything we're interested in.
Psychosexual, but we're not getting wet.
No. Only our brains.
Yeah, very moist brain.
The police being involved, as
they?
Lauren said.
Are they?
A lot of times in the OC, they are.
They are.
Parentified children, we're going to see a lot throughout the years on the OC to this day.
Yeah, but we will never know their GPAs after this season.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Yeah,
that it doesn't show. Information is redacted.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've got, like, the main character, the glue character, the person the show is kind of shaped around becoming, like, too much of a producer and getting, leaving. That's kind of a franchise-wide thing that happens very often. Like, if you were the center square, then, like, you are gonna kind of get a big head and, like, want to control things too much and get out. Unfortunately, it hasn't happened on Beverly Hills yet, but fingers crossed it will. Of course, an important motif is Vicky not wanting to get old. She still doesn't want to get old. And then, of course, grifting men who will stop at nothing to manipulate their way back on TV a little longer, specifically by continuing to date Orange County cast members. That
seriously,
we're going to see it time and time again.
Yeah, we're going to see it, and it works because it's worth it.
Yeah. Work it. If you can work it, it's worth it.
Flip that thing down and reverse it. Yeah.
What grade would you give this season?
Ooh, I'm going to give it an A just because it started my favorite thing, which is Housewives. So thank you to these women.
Yes, I agree. A for like... it's like the origin story. Mm-hmm. It's that, you know, it's sprung from the loins of this first season. And also it's like just amazing. Thank you again to Lauren Zalesnick, who really had so much figured out from the very beginning.
No, I just want to go visit the gates of Kodo so bad.
Oh my gosh. The foam noodle apparently is what it is. I want to, I would love to see it. If you listen to this via audio, did you know that we have a YouTube channel as well? Bravo Breakdowns. Check it out. This particular episode is not on video, but we've got so many others. Follow us on TikTok. Follow us on Instagram. It's Bravo_Breakdowns. Email us if you have an oral exam that you'd like to share or any kind of insight. If you want to connect with us, BravoBreakdowns@gmail.com. And of course, we end every episode with an oral exam, a 1-minute topic on a pop culture, a 1-minute essay on a pop culture topic of your choice. Man, I almost got it all down. So close. Oh, well. Michelle, would you like to start with an oral exam?
I would like to start. Like, I usually always start them.
Good.
And okay, let me know when you got the timer set.
And this is Michelle Baber's oral exam. Her time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove that actually the best reality TV show right now is The Gypsy Rose Life After Lockup. I have been watching. I've watched every single episode. Like, the least interesting thing that happened was that she was involved with the murder of her mom. Like, this show is so bananas. It's so interesting. Jason is obsessed with it, too. She's, like, married to this guy that, you know, married her while she was still in prison. But before they got married, while she was still in prison, this is Ryan. She had this guy, Ken. Now she has, we see on the show, she's, like, leaving Ryan, still married to Ryan, to go back with Ken, who a lot of people think is gay and just wants to be on TV. Maybe. Who cares? So they're back together now. Her divorce isn't finalized until October. And so
10 seconds.
We find out that not on the show. She's pregnant, and she just posted on Twitter or TikTok the timeline of when she had sex with both men. So to prove that Ken is the father, not Ryan.
Wow, time. Oh yeah, my God.
I know. I know.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, this was a really good sell. Like, this is extremely my shit.
Yes, I know it is.
Yeah, I'm gonna
women in crisis.
And like, how much is true? I also like keep getting recommended the subreddit Gypsy Rose Skeptics, where it's people who believe that like her mom didn't have much husband's by proxy.
Oh my God.
Like that she's not pregnant. And it's like,
oh my God. Yeah, I'm not in that group. But
I'm just so curious about like someone like that this woman has evoked so much rage in a random group.
Yeah, no, it's crazy because like on the show, there's so much that she talks about. Like she talks about like she before Ryan, she hadn't really been with a man. I mean, really, she mostly was just with women while she was in prison and all of these things. And now she's pregnant. But here's the crazy thing: she can't even live with Ken, who is the guy that is a baby daddy, because she's on parole. She can't live with anybody that's like not her family or someone she's married to. And she's
so are they gonna get married?
I don't know.
Wow.
But you gotta tune in.
What? Or they can spend the night together, right? Or does she always have to?
Yeah, I think she's allowed to, they're allowed to visit each other. They're conjugal visits, in fact.
Oh my God. Wow.
It's really good.
Yeah, I'm definitely, after we watch House of the Dragon.
Oh my God, don't ever say that to me again. I don't know what it means, honestly, and I refuse to learn.
I know. I'm disappointed in myself for getting pulled in, but I'm trying to be more into these fantasy shows to bond with my, fiance and stuff.
It's okay to like be like, I think it's healthy to have boundaries. And for me, a dragon is a big boundary.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about dragons and fantasy and all that.
Anti.
Hate it.
You're staunchly anti-dragons.
That is a boundary, and nobody can overstep that. That is my boundary.
See, I don't have that privilege as, like, literally my stepson is leading a D&D campaign called, like, Dragonborn Dragons, where it's like they get dragon coins, they're hunting a dragon, and, you know, Cam is in the game, and yeah, I just gotta embrace the dragon, and
there won't be dragons at your wedding, please.
Lauren. Oh my god.
Please.
I can't make that guarantee.
Please. Okay. Well, DM us, message us on Instagram, post if you do not want dragons to be involved with Lauren's wedding.
We'll put a poll up. We'll put a poll up in our stories. And honestly, I will go by the results of the poll.
Yeah, yeah. Because Lauren doesn't care really what happens at her wedding.
It hasn't been made clear by now. I do not give a fuck.
Yeah, she's the least interested person getting married I've ever met, like, in the terms of planning their wedding.
I don't care. I just don't want it to be expensive. So it's time for my oral exam. It's a bit of a somber one. But here we go. This is Lauren Davis's oral exam. My time starts now. In this essay, I will prove that although the great Shannon Doherty has shuffled off this mortal coil, has in fact succumbed to her battle with cancer today or yesterday. No, today. No one is doing death like her. And she should be the blueprint for celebrities dying from here on out. What she managed to do, first of all, like, really brave of her to open up her battle to cancer with the world, but even braver to use her last 2 years taking down anyone who ever talked shit about her and besmirched her, getting her charmed co-stars. To bring down Alyssa Milano and try to ruin her reputation, which, like, oh, I love that. Like, bully take because Alyssa's so, like, you know, tied into Me Too. But also, it's like Alyssa is being problematic and it got a lot of eyes on her. I love your final act being like, okay, it's too late to redeem myself, but I can take other people down with me.
Yes, she fed us so much the last few years, and we are so thankful. And we're so thankful for her, you know, body of work. I mean, Heathers, are you crazy?
My God. So good. Yes, so good. 90210. Her original season of Charmed.
Public fights with everyone she's ever been in cast with.
Yes, yes. It's like, yeah, she fed us so much gossip, and maybe, like, some of it she's saying was not true, but, like, either way, I fucking love her even more for it. It's time for us to stop, like, maligning these actresses who are hard to work with and instead worshiping them as the reality TV divas that they are. R.I.P. Shannon Doherty. You are a Shannon Bedore to me. And by that, I mean a cunty queen.
We love it. But you never had to, you know, drive your car into a house. So thank you for that.
And thank you, for driving responsibly.
Yes. Thank you so much for that.
Also, and thank you guys too.
Thank you to Shannon for driving into a car.
Yes.
I mean, driving her car into a home.
Or into a home. Yeah. Yeah. We're grateful for both.
Thank you.
And we're grateful for you guys. Thanks, students. Bye. See you next week with the next episode of OC coverage, and we'll be covering season 2. Bye.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdowns.